Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we've been hearing, the death toll from the hostage crisis at a gas field complex in Algeria is high. The prime minister there announced that 37 foreign hostages and 29 attackers were killed, and three Americans are among the dead. The five-day hostage crisis is over now, leaving questions, however, about what comes next for France, North Africa, and, yes, the United States. Joining me now, New York Times correspondents Adam Nossiter in Algiers and Stephen Erlanger in Paris. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC today. Thanks so much for doing this. And Steve Erlanger in Paris, this started with a threat of retribution for French military action in Mali against Islamist militants in the north. Today, the French are moving forward with these operations in Mali with U.S. support. What's the nature of the French action there?
Well, the French responded to a plea for help from the Malian president, who felt that even Bamako might fall within a few days because his own army was falling apart under the pressure of a two-pronged Islamist push to the south.
And Bamako is the capital, which
capital
is
of Mali,
in the south, which is the part that wasn't controlled by the Islamists before, correct?
That's right. I mean, the Islamists had basically taken over the north through a complicated series of events that included a coup in Mali and a breakdown of authority. Now, the French went in much faster than they wanted to. There had been a plan to go in later in the autumn in a more advisory role to African troops and with a retrained Malian army. But having gone in quickly, the French now find themselves rather exposed. They claim they're fighting in support of the Malian army, but basically, as far as I can tell, Adam might know better. They seem to be dragging the Malian army with them as they move forward, and the French idea is to reestablish a kind of stability in the south to prevent further Islamist movement toward Bamako while bombing Islamist strongholds in the north. But the idea is to wait now, if they can, to get African troops more quickly to Mali and go back to the previous plan. I think that's going to be very difficult. I think the French are going to be moving themselves further to the north before too long.
Because there aren't African troops prepared to do it. Adam Nossiter in Algiers, the nationalities of the attackers in the hostage-taking included Libyan, Egyptian, Tunisian, all countries at the forefront of the Arab Spring, Mauritanian. Does this tell us something about the spread of this new al-Qaeda group?
Well, yes. I think that this was an international brigade. This is what the Algerian government is calling it. And they're making the point that because these were men who came from all over the region, this is an international problem, and that Algeria should not be expected to go it alone in confronting it, nor should it be blamed alone for, you know, having allowed this to happen, as it were. So, yes, I do think it says something. I'm not sure it says anything about the Arab Spring, but although the Algerians have some things to say about that as well, but it certainly shows that this is an al-Qaeda branch with enough wherewithal to recruit very widely in the region.
And apparently two of the attackers were Canadians. What do we know about them?
Well, I believe that they were Canadians of Arab origin, but the Algerians say that at least one and possibly more of the attackers spoke perfect English. And so I think, again, that highlights the broad nature of this al-Qaeda group that originated in northern Mali and then traveled through Niger and across the desert and the Libyan border, which is quite close to the gas complex site, and launched the attack out of Libya.
And Steve, al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb as this group is called, or AQIM, has started branching out across North Africa from Algeria, where I think it originated. What's their ideology? And do they just want things from countries like Algeria and Mali, or do they want things from France? Do they want things from the United States?
Well, I think that's a very good question. And, you know, it is true that they began as an Algerian group whose targets were the Algerian government. Most of the people who lead this organization are Algerian, and started by opposing the Algerian military, which was cracking down on an Islamist political party. It had canceled elections in the early 90s, and Algeria went through a horrible civil war. You know, up to 100,000 people have died, though people argue about this. And most of these people were fighting the military. That's where they got started, and then went through another transformation with Al-Qaeda and had relations with Osama bin Laden in the early 2000s, and then renamed themselves Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. Now, it's not quite clear how strong the connections are between, you know, the Al-Qaeda we think of with Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri and these guys, but it's a pretty there is a relationship, and it's a pretty good brand name. And they have, partly because the Algerians have cracked down so hard, they have moved to easier territory like Mauritania and Mali. And then after the Libyan war, when Gaddafi was overthrown, not much of a state has replaced him, and an awful lot of his weapons and weapons that were provided from the Gulf to the rebels ended up in the hands of groups like this one. So they were supported with people who had had more experience fighting the Libyans, and they were supported with a lot more weaponry, and they had a fair amount of money from, you know, hostage taking and cigarette and drug smuggling. Anyway, and they set up part of their command in the lawlessness of northern Mali, which, as I'd said, had kind of fallen out of state control.
Steve Erlanger, New York Times correspondent in Paris, with Adam Nossiter, New York Times correspondent in Algiers. And Adam, this incident has put a focus on these facilities which employ foreign workers. We've seen diagrams and maps in the New York Times and elsewhere showing just how expansive and remote this particular facility is. The region is peppered with them, and not just for gas, but as your colleague Michael Gordon reported in the Times this weekend, also for uranium and oil and other international ventures, which are valuable and apparently in some cases poorly defended. Was this a target of AQIM because it's, you know, a multinational energy company seen as exploiting Africa for Western consumptive lifestyles, or doesn't it connect to that?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it was specifically a target of AQIM because this particular complex is extremely important to Algerians and the Algerian economy. It actually represents a significant portion, percentage of gross domestic product. I'm not sure exactly what the figure is, but I believe it's over 5%. So this is a very important facility for the Algerians in and of itself. And then the whole oil and gas industry is absolutely critical to Algeria, and the participation of foreigners in it is critical as well. Without oil and gas, Algeria has nothing. Its revenues are almost entirely derived from oil and gas. So the terrorists knew that in showing that they can inflict direct damage on a significant portion of the Algerian economy, they're striking at the heart of the Algerian state, which they detest. Algeria is pretty close to the U.S. On the target list of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, largely because of the extremely harsh crackdown that Steve mentioned earlier in the 1990s.
Before you both go, Steve Erlanger in Paris, in your piece this weekend, which I found fascinating, you cited a survey that found 75% of the French support the decision to take this rapid military action in Mali. As you point out, that's higher than the 66% that supported intervention in Libya and much higher than the 55% for Afghanistan in 2001. Is France really more militaristic than most Americans realize from its opposition to the Iraq war? We all remember Freedom Fries. What makes this move so popular?
Well, I would say the French like to feel they are taking moral leadership in the world and that they can have their own policy backed by their own military means. Now, they know they're not the biggest power in the world, and they know they can't do everything on their own. But as in Libya, there is some pride that the French, as in Libya, were first to come to the aid of Benghazi, which sounded like it was going to be smashed by the Gaddafi regime. And so when they Hollande, who had a reputation for indecisiveness, suddenly decided to come to the aid of an old French colony, an ally in Mali, which was under the threat of Islamic radicalism moving quickly southward, I think the French said, fine, now that will change. And of course, you know, I'm sure the level of approval will go down. And already now the right has begun to complain that France feels too exposed in Mali. And the French are obviously trying to figure out exactly what their real goals are there. But there is a sense the French have that, you know, done for the right reasons with a moral foundation, they still have a voice in the world and the means to make that voice heard.
Is that neocolonialism or a feeling of responsibility to help a former colony, or how would you characterize it?
Well, you know, I mean, it's easy to call it neocolonialism. I mean, I don't think it really is, in the sense that the French don't have a lot of financial interests in Mali. They did have 6,000 citizens, and they do have business interests there. So there is an element of the colonial tie. But this is not, you know, France intervening in the internal affairs of one group versus another. This is France acting with the support of Africans, with the support of the EU, and importantly, with the support of the UN Security Council. So the French feel they have international support and are not acting alone in a purely colonial way.
New York Times correspondent Adam Nossiter in Algiers, Paris Bureau Chief Steve Erlanger, thank you both very much. I think this is an important situation for Americans to get more familiar with, and Americans don't know very much about Algiers, probably can't find Mali on a map. But I have a feeling this is not the last we've heard about all of this. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, patients who awake from surgery despite anesthesia. What it means for managing those cases, which are happening in surprising numbers, and what it means for the nature of human consciousness. Stay with us.